It is almost summer, which means it's almost the season for highway construction projects. The country's interstate highway system was established in 1956, and those roads, especially in urban areas, now carry many times more vehicles than they were designed to carry. Maintaining and improving them is also harder while they're being used by all those cars. Joining us now is Brian Palish, Managing Director of Government Relations at the American Society of Civil Engineers. He's in Washington. Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And when we look around the country right now and some of the big interstate projects that are going on, a 10-mile stretch of I-70 through Denver, about a $1 billion project right there, 35-mile portion of I-94 in and near Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and its airport, 21 miles of I-4 through Orlando, Florida, that's a $2 billion project. Is there a lot more construction going on right now than usual?
Well, I think what we're seeing is it is construction season, right? So it stopped snowing and it's gotten warmer. And so now it's time to start rebuilding those roads and doing the projects that have been planned and improve accessibility, relieve some congestion, and improve safety.
And I imagine that if you had your way and if the people that look at this very closely had their way, there would be a lot more construction projects going on right now because the highways need them.
We've taken a generation off of investing in our infrastructure, and I think our interstate highway system demonstrates that by not only the congestion that we see, which we're not going to be able to necessarily solve all the congestion problems, but also simply the condition of the roads. The roadways that we drive on every day put quite a toll on our vehicles. The average driver, if you will, faces about $600 in vehicle repairs and maintenance in a given year just from the roadway system that damages it. There is a toll to what we're doing, if you will, by not maintaining our roadway systems.
Are there safety issues that come along with that? Do you think that the roads, the highways at this point, are unsafe in some places?
I think there's a number of factors, right? So I was driving in this morning, as I do from Alexandria, Virginia, and I was watching a driver next to me watch a movie as he was driving him and his son somewhere. Distracted driving is a significant issue, and lots of states have been focused on that. But roadway condition also plays a role. If there's a pothole and your car hits that pothole, you may not be able to react in time and maybe your car veers or something like that. So I think there are some roadway safety issues with regards to the condition of the road that may contribute to some of the crashes that we have.
Okay, so let's get to what's going on to try to update these highways and repair these roads. It is a lot harder now to do that in some places because these highways may have been built where there was nothing around, and now they're surrounded by buildings and, you know, cities have grown and suburbs have grown. How much more difficult does it make repairing the highways to have all that stuff around now?
You know, I think it provides quite a bit of challenges many times for engineers and contractors. It is a difficult problem that they have. Not only, yes, there are buildings right nearby, and if you're going to expand, for example, the highway, you're going to add a lane or two. Well, that's a problem because you may have a limited amount of space, and that may be difficult to do. But also, you've got so many more vehicles, as you noted, going through a given area that now you're going to start rebuilding that roadway and maybe taking out a lane so that you can start rebuilding or taking out two lanes. You also have this problem of, you know, there's utilities that are involved in this. So there's sewer lines and water mains and storm drains and electrical wires, fiber optic cables that many times run through the right-of-way of these roadway systems or run across them. And so a lot of the utilities have to be reworked or relocated. These are pretty massive projects, all the while trying to ensure that the traveling public gets to access the system. And also, we have to keep the workers that are trying to rebuild those transportation systems safe. There's a recent report that was put out by the Associated General Contractors of America that said 67% of nation's road contractors experienced some form of a vehicle crash at their work sites. Mm-hmm.
And there have been a number of people that have been killed as the I-4 project has been going on in Florida. I also want to get to the point that you just made about allowing people to use the roads while the construction is going on. There was a project near our studios here, and they actually shut down a major highway for 2 weeks during the summer for 2 years in a row to get this bridge put in, because it was a much faster way to do it, to just say nobody can drive on this road right now for these 2 weeks, rather than having slow traffic for a year while they worked on it.
Absolutely. And I think engineers and contractors are trying to be more innovative in the ways they think about addressing some of these problems. And that's a good example of a way to do it. There's a certain inconvenience right during those 2 weeks, but the rest of the year, the project is open. The bridge is open to normal traffic. You know, we're facing that right now, not with a roadway system, but in Washington, D.C., the metro line is closed south of National Airport. Those people on that are listening may know some of that transit system.
And they're probably complaining about it right now because they want it to be open.
It's the first 3 or 4 days. They're closing that through the entire summer. It's going to open back up on September 6th. Mm-hmm. It is causing some angst, I guess, as people try and get from south of the airport into Washington, D.C. to work. It's adding congestion to the roadway system because buses are now taking people. It is one of those things where, you know, we've taken that generation off of investing in the transit system, much like we did the roadway system. And so we're having to make those repairs. And it was better or more convenient, if that makes sense, to close it for the summer, mm-hmm. when volume may be a little less because people are on vacation and traveling and things like that, than it would be to close it, you know, 1 weekend at a time.
Well, so let's get to another thing that you just brought up, which is that there are so many more cars on these roads that were built decades ago than they were designed for. I saw one statistic that there was an interstate highway that was built for 70,000 cars, and now there are 200,000 or 250,000 cars on that same freeway. Are we ever going to be able to build enough highways for all of the cars that are going to be in this country? Or is it time to start thinking about, rather than expanding the old highways, building more public transit and finding other ways to get people from place to place?
You know, the short answer to your question is no, we will not be able to build enough highways. We cannot build our way out of some of the congestion. And that is rather clear. I grew up in Los Angeles. We will not build our way out of congestion in Los Angeles. That is not possible. And what Los Angeles has done, I think, is an interesting example. Clearly a car culture in mm-hmm. Los Angeles is they are investing very heavily not only in rebuilding some of their roadway systems, but they're investing heavily in transit. And they're actually trying to provide people additional options for mobility. We need to start rethinking how we're going to get from point A to B. We need to start thinking about maybe even how close we live to where we work.
And does everybody really need to go into work every day, or could a lot of the people in this country be working from home?
And that's another good point. I mean, I think companies and businesses need to start thinking about whether or not telecommuting is an option for some employees for some days. You may not always be allowed to not be in the office, if you will, right? But the ability to telecommute 1 or 2 days a week can certainly relieve congestion. We see that in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, absolutely.
I want to ask you about the money here, because these projects to upgrade highways these days, it's much more expensive than it used to be. It can be billions of dollars just for a mile or two. Where's that money going to come from, especially because lawmakers have been so reluctant to raise things like the gas tax to put money into our highways?
Well, I think that's, you know, we've been working for years. I hazard to say how many years, but many years trying to figure out the riddle of how we actually start paying for our surface transportation system in a more effective manner. You know, right now, ASCE and lots of other groups support actually increasing the federal motor fuels tax. It sits at 18.3 cents a gallon. So regardless of how much your gas costs per gallon, you're still just paying 18 cents into the roadway system. That hasn't been raised since 1993. You know, my sort of quick answer to folks is, would you like to live on your 1993 wage? Most people don't. and so I think, you know, one of the things we can do is certainly raise the motor fuels tax. That would be on for diesel and for gasoline, mm-hmm. so truckers would pay as well. As we look further into the future, there will be the opportunity to actually charge drivers per mile that they drive. This tends to be a little bit controversial, and some folks have pause with that notion. But the reality is it is a fair way to do it. We see more electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles being utilized, and they're actually not paying into the system at all. So if you see people driving around in a Tesla, which is an all-electric vehicle, they pay nothing into the highway trust fund. And sort of the real premise that we focus on is this idea that the user should pay.
So more tolls is what it sounds like you're saying.
We look at it more as the user can pay in a number of different ways. You could have this vehicle mile travel fee, the mileage-based user fee, if you will. You could increase the gas tax. You could put a fee on electric vehicles and utilize that as well. Some states are using tolling. Tolls can be beneficial in certain areas. We have, you know, a large country and a large interstate highway system. There is some stretches of the interstate highway system that are not as congested as those in Boston or Washington, D.C. or Los Angeles. And tolling is maybe not an option in those areas. So I think tolling needs to be on the list, but it's probably not at the top of the list.
I remember driving from Los Angeles to New York, and I didn't pay any tolls all the way across. And as soon as I got to Washington, D.C., it was just toll all the way up to New York.
That Washington to New York stretch has a few tolls on it.
That's Brian Palish, who's Managing Director of Government Relations at the American Society of Civil Engineers. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.